Do you want to just briefly reiterate what Pastor Bob said about signing up for Streetwise and our service day and the things that we need to provide for that service day? So please, if you missed the blue sheets, please respond to your This Week at Redeemer email. We especially need people to serve on that Saturday. I want to encourage you to do that as a church family. Like most all churches in the United States, if not the world, we've been through a big disruption and a big transition. A lot of turnover in churches. So if you're new to Redeemer, if you're COVID new to Redeemer, or if you've been here for a while, this is a very important opportunity for a church family to come together and serve together. Great way to get to know each other, to get to know your new church family, and a way where we're serving shoulder to shoulder. So I want to encourage you to do that. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100, or turn the page in your worship guide. As you do that, I want you to think for a second about good food. When you think about good food or a good meal, what comes to mind? Let me tweak that a little bit more. I want you to think about a great meal. A great meal that you've had recently. Picture the food. Picture the setting. Remember the tastes. In my recent retreat with the pastors and guys I went to seminary with 25 years ago, we get together every year for a retreat. There are a lot of great cooks in that group. And with one of them, I helped him prepare the meal that he'd prepared to make. And we had way more than a dozen duck breasts. And we rendered those down, never rendered before. And we made this beautiful, beautiful meal. That's what comes to my own mind. If you were part of the people of God in the Old Testament, and someone asked you that question to think about a great meal, chances are you would be thinking to the last time you participated in a Thanksgiving sacrifice meal. The Old Testament people of God, generally the best feasts that they had, the best meals that they had, were at and during the feasts and sacrifices on their church calendar, especially the Thanksgiving sacrifice, which was a special sacrifice and a special, special meal. The Thanksgiving sacrifice is one of the things that led to us having an all-church party year after year. Thank you, COVID-19, for putting a stop to that. But it was going through Leviticus as a church family and realizing how the pattern and the principle of God for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years was that His people feasted and celebrated together as an act of worship and an act of thanksgiving. And that, yes, those practices pointed to Christ and pointed to the New Testament church and were fulfilled in Christ and were to be fulfilled in the patterns of the New Testament church. But one of the realizations I and we had was, there's this Old Testament pattern of feasting with food together in celebration and thankfulness to God. And let's do some more of that. Yes, the Thanksgiving offering is fulfilled in many ways in the weekly worship of the people of God, where we come together as God's people in this place to give thanks. To give thanks to God for Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that worship is doing. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. To give thanks to God that Jesus Christ came into this world. That He took on flesh. That He lived a perfect life and died on a cross. and was resurrected again, that we, sinful people, might be freely forgiven by the work of Jesus Christ, that we might have confidence to stand before God, not because of our own goodness or our own promises, but because of Jesus' obedience, that our guilt and shame is taken away, that we have been forgiven and accepted by God. And each Sunday we gather together to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God for that. And yet, there's also a great principle in this Thanksgiving meal that the people of God celebrated together. If you go back through Leviticus 7, and if you go back through the Psalms and Leviticus 3, you see that this Thanksgiving meal that was a special type of sacrifice. The food was to be eaten, the food that was sacrificed, and this sacrifice, a lot of it was given back to the family. And it all had to be eaten that day. Couldn't be left over. No doves were acceptable in this sacrifice. Had to be a lamb, it had to be a goat, or it had to be cattle. So it was going to be a meal. It's going to be a fair amount of meat. And so it was to be eaten together that day with the household. And if your household was small, you knew the meat couldn't be saved, so what are you going to do? You invite others to join you. It's a community event. And Psalm 100 that we turn to this morning is a psalm for giving thanks. A psalm that the families and the households probably sang together on the way to the temple of the tabernacle as they were giving the sacrifice of thanksgiving. A psalm that they probably sung or read at the table together as they celebrated. This was a communal event and a worship event. If you were single, if you were widowed, if you did not have children, this was something you participated in with your community, the community of the people of God, and you gave thanks to God in a special way. Providentially, Psalm 100 was the next psalm in line for us at our devotions at Don McCook's first staff meeting back. And it prompted me to begin a process of realizing that we got to do more to celebrate how God has answered our prayers. At Don's return from almost death to life, to health, to work, it was a long and slow process of much prayer and much anxiety. And it was just having him back at staff meeting, looking at Psalm 100, realizing, hey, God's word tells us that there's something we should do, that we're meant to celebrate, and we're meant to celebrate together. And so that's why we're here in Psalm 100 this morning. We're going to have a fellowship meal later on. That's why we're having a fellowship meal this particular Sunday. Or on this Sunday, we're having a particular, we're doing Psalm 100 and having the fellowship meal. Is that we might celebrate together in feasting. That we might eat and drink together as an act of worship and as an act of enjoyment. That in participating in good food together, that we might taste and remember God's goodness to us. That we might celebrate God's goodness to us. That we might experience this festival, gastrointestinal, communal dynamic of celebration. That it's experiential. We don't just give thanks in our head. We know when something good happens to us as a family, as a household, or as part of a family, what do? We get together and we have a special meal. When someone graduates, when someone gets married, when someone gets a promotion, when it's someone's birthday, we do that with food. Why? Because that's how God made us. And feasting is part of what it means to be a follower of His. So read with me, Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would You meet us this morning? And would You show us and give us Your very self? Lord, would You bring to mind the prayers that we have prayed, that You have answered, that we might give thanks to You for answered prayer? Oh, Lord, would You meet us and turn our hearts and our minds and our souls towards You? We pray, Lord, this morning that we would know You, not just in our heads, but that we would know that we have met with the true and the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a little overview of where we're going this morning. First of all, I'm going to recount some of the facts and the history of what happened to Don. Secondly, Kathleen and Don are going to come up, and Kathleen is going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for answering her prayers and our prayers. We're going to take a little circle back at Psalm 100, and then we're going to go downstairs and feast. During that time, we're going to have a time of stand-up and prayer time. And I want you to be thinking about prayers that God has answered of yours, that you might give thanks to Him for downstairs. Maybe He's answered in a small way. Maybe it's an ongoing issue. Maybe you have a struggle with anxiety or fear. But you can give thanks today that God has helped you and is helping you, that you're not as anxious or as fearful as you could be. 7 months ago, on a Thursday morning, August 12th, a little before 8 a.m., Don McCook got out. If I stop, if I wait to not cry, we're going to be here all day, I think. Okay, so keep going. Don fell off a ladder in the parking lot, kind of catty corner from my office on this side of the parking lot. He was lopping a limb, and he fell when the limb hit the ladder from about a height of 30 feet. Jacob Brunson, one of the young men in the church, was working with him, and they were alone here. Don landed on the hard concrete asphalt driveway of our church. It was a brutal fall. A lot of broken bones. Some severe, severe head trauma. Jacob called an ambulance, and thankfully, praise God, it was here within minutes. And thankfully, praise God, they had the wisdom to take Don to Grady, one of the number one trauma centers for those kind of things in the whole of the Southeast. I had a call or text Kathleen at work and tell her something you never want to tell someone. Hey, Don's in an ambulance on the way to Grady. You need to go now. Gathered at Grady, and we're able to pray with Don all together in the trauma room in a very unusual COVID-19 situation. And then Don slipped into a coma. Maybe 3 or 4 days, Don was in a coma, and those were dark days. You know, we knew this fall was significant. And it was questioning and wondering of, would Don wake up? You know, was the brain damage going to be so severe that he wouldn't wake up? praise God, he did wake up and he opened his eyes. And there was much rejoicing in that. And then began a long period of weeks and months that were painful for Kathleen and the family, wondering, okay, Don's not dead, but how much of him is coming back? Don was at Grady for 3 weeks in the trauma center there. After that, he didn't get to go home. They transferred him to the shepherd center for rehab. Don doesn't remember those 3 weeks in Grady. His first memories are being told he was going to take an ambulance ride. 3 weeks gone. Don and Kathleen were at the shepherd center for 38 days. Then after that, Don didn't get to go home. He and Kathleen went into an outpatient kind of assisted living rehab facility next door to the Shepherd Center. And they were there for 26 more days. It wasn't until November 2nd that Don came home. That was 12 weeks after the accident. 83 days. And he'd been in a wheelchair for most all of those 12 weeks and 83 days. But it didn't end there. What began then was 7 weeks of outpatient therapy, which Don completed on Christmas Eve of last year. 20 weeks after the accident, 142 days. Can you imagine? I mean, just thinking about some of these numbers, 12 weeks in a hospital or inpatient rehab place. 12 weeks not sleeping in your own bed. 12 weeks not being home with your dogs. And all of this during COVID-19, where you didn't get to visit. You couldn't have family members kind of swap in and out. Even when Don came home, it didn't end. Even when the rehab began to taper off, it didn't end. It was the process of, can Don get his driver's license? Praise God he did. And then on Sunday, February 27th, Don was up here playing the bagpipes again. Don would have been up here playing the bagpipes today, but his bagpipes broke. We'll have a special sacrifice of mourning for the bagpipes on a different Sunday, okay? And then the next day, Don came back to work. 29 weeks after his fall. 7 months. 214 days. Yeah, Don still has some lingering effects. The speech and short-term memory and some vertigo. But today we give thanks to God for miraculously saving Don's life and miraculously restoring Don's life. We prayed as a church family. Many of you who were COVID new to Church of the Redeemer prayed for Don that you didn't know or weren't quite sure who he was. People across the world that Don knows from hiking the Camino Trail prayed. People in the UK, Liverpool friends around the world prayed for Don. And today we give thanks to God for answering our prayers. I'm going to ask Don and Kathleen to come up and for Kathleen to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving to God.
Please join me as we pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, our Creator, our God, our Savior, and our Redeemer, we join this morning with all of your creation in lifting our voices as we rejoice in your goodness. We come before you with gladness of heart, praising you for your faithfulness, kindness, and grace. You are indeed rich in mercy and abundant in your love for us. You have created us in your image, and we belong to you. You watch over us with love and care. You know our frail frames, and you bear us most gently in your hand. Receive our humble sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all you have done, for your promises to preserve and promises to keep. You alone have divine sovereignty and governance over all things, good and bad, and nothing happens to us by chance. We take comfort in knowing you do not afflict from the heart, and rejoice that when you show us your mercy, you do so with your whole heart. Father, we do not understand your ways, yet we know that when we call out to you, when we cry out, Abba, Father, you hear our cry. Your heart is full with our songs of praise, and your heart breaks with our cries of pain. You heard our cries and our prayers from around the world as so many lifted up your servant Don, asking for your will to be done. We thank you, Lord, that as our prayers ascended, you bent down and touched Don with your healing hand. We thank you that as you ministered to Don's needs, you also wrapped the rest of us up in your loving arms and provided comfort and peace. You made a way where there seemed to be no way. You not only made yourself known in the big needs, but you showed up in the tiniest of details. Lord, we thank you specifically for the quick actions of Jacob Brunson. Father God, we thank you so much for our church body who surrounded us in prayer. Lord, we thank you for our dear family and friends who cared for us in so many ways. For the nurses and the staff of Grady and Shepherd, who while struggling through the midst of COVID, continued to serve with excellence and grace. Lord, we thank you not just providing us with one contact at the Shepherd Center, but with a dozen or more, including the CEO and the Shepherd family, as you made a way for Don to have a place. Lord, thank you so much for the physical, speech, recreational, vocational, and occupational therapists who all loved on Don and who were so important in his rehabilitation. We thank you for protecting Don from pain through this journey. And we thank you for using this experience to impact people around the world, Lord, as they watched you work miracles. Father God, I pray we never forget these things, that we keep them close and we remember. May we never lose the sense of awe we have when we reflect on what you've done. We give you praise and we give you thanks, for the day is coming when we will each be glorified, spirit, soul, and body, for we will see Jesus as he is and be made like him. Until that day, I pray my life, our lives, will all be a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the one who alone is worthy of all praise and worship. Lord, use us as you will during our time here on earth, and may all that we do bring you glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you. What about you? What about us? Today we want to give thanks to God, not just for answering our prayers for Don, but also to take this time to give thanks to God for how he has answered our prayers. As a people, we can be too busy to stop and celebrate. Often we pray and God answers our prayers and we have about 3 seconds of relief before we start praying about the next thing. And we take time to stop and to remember that God answers our prayers on a daily basis. God sustains us. Let's look at Psalm 100 for just a few minutes. Would you read along with me? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Well, first of all, I forgot to read the title. The title is part of the Hebrew text. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. I love that it says a joyful noise and it doesn't reference accurate melody. We make a joyful noise to the Lord in singing. And we should.
If you're a follower of Jesus Christ who does not make a joyful noise to the Lord, you're going to have to talk to Jesus about that. There's no kind of parenthesis here that says those who don't think their singing voice is good are exempt. We're all called to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Parents, if you want your children to think you actually believe the gospel, they need to hear you sing. They need to see you sing. They need to feel you sing. Dads especially. Verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. Today we give thanks that God is our Creator and that we belong to Him. Can you give thanks to God that you belong to Him? That you're His? The next line. We are His people. The sheep of His pasture. Has God shepherded you? Come and found you when you were lost. Left the 99 to seek the one. Put you over His shoulder and carried you home. Rejoiced in you being found. Yes, if you know Jesus Christ, then that is the truth of what God has done for you. Can you give thanks for that today? Has God shepherded and guided you this past year? Verse 4, if so, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Steadfast love. One of the things I love about the ESV translation that we use here at Church of the Redeemer is it consistently translates this Hebrew term with this phrase, steadfast love. Other translations, for some reason that they think is good, but I think is stupid, translate this word in a lot of different... I think it's nuts. Translate this word with loving kindness, gentleness, compassion. This is the Hebrew word for God's covenant love. It's chesed. And you gotta use the blessing of being Scottish with that CH sound at the beginning. Okay? It's for dawn this morning. Lochs and chesed. It's the word for God's covenant faithfulness. His promised steadfast love. His love that is given to us and will never be taken away in Jesus Christ. His love that you can't exhaust with your sin. His love that is promised to you, to us, despite our repetitive unfaithfulness. We give thanks for that. His covenant steadfast love that endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. We're going to take time during our Thanksgiving meal to give you space to either stand or to silently give thanks to God. How has He shown Himself to be good to you? How has He shepherded you? How has He shown you His steadfast love? How has He shown you His faithfulness? How has He reminded you that you belong to Him? Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You and we worship You. As we come to the Lord's Supper, we come with thanksgiving to receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, to feast on Him, and in doing so to receive strength and grace and comfort and love and acceptance and empowerment mystically through the work of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.